greatly appreciated the attendance here. I know it's a bad time of the year, but actually all times of the year are good. This is a day the Lord hath made. Rejoice in it and be glad. And I've earnestly prayed that the messages will have already and will be beneficial to you in order that your life may be based solidly upon the Word of God. Hardly know what to talk about tonight. I got to thinking back there in the room about something that intrigued me just so much that I didn't want to think about faith. I want to think about something else, which is a great mystery that God hasn't explained. And it's kind of hard to get thinking along a line like that and then switch over. And then I got sitting here and I opened up an old volume of notes I have, and I'd actually got around 21, 23 sermons on faith, and we've covered about 15, 16, and by next Sunday. And I got to thinking of so many things that are left unsaid. And I thought, my, I got to try to incorporate them somewhere, but I'm not going to be able to do it. I was thinking of faith and materiality and on one, how to trust God, that line. But I promised I'd talk about faith that controls, and I'm going to do that tonight, but I want to make the message short because every night, I don't say it's going to be short, I hope it will be. You've been so good coming every night, most every night, and I realize that it has been difficult, especially Saturday being a hard night for people in business. It's made it very difficult. So we'll see if we can't be good to you as you've been good to us. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Our Father, we come to you now tonight, thanking you that we are thine. It can be said of us that we are of God. Little children though we may be, I pray, Lord, that we're growing up to be men and women, not fed upon milk only, but now upon meat. Understanding thy way, O God, not as the children of Israel who fell as carcass wilderness, and only Moses really knew the way, and we know Joshua and Caleb did too. Lord, we find it so true to form, even in these days, that so many are children, so many see the works, so many are simply thankful for what you've done, but they haven't really known the way of God, that way of faith, that way of trial, the way that is the only way that you have of deepening and broadening us and making us like you. I pray tonight, Lord, that I believe that the prayer I prayed last night has been answered. I believe, O God, that we are going on, and it must be in that day we'll hear, well done, good and faithful servant. In that day there will be authority granted unto us. In that day you shall not be ashamed of us, and we shall not be ashamed of thy coming. Grant tonight, Lord, we may hear that which will encourage our hearts, to make us think, and not only think but translate our thinking into action, that we may do the whole will of God and be all pleasing unto you. Grant, my Lord, that your body be edified in everything that's said and done. Give me the words I ought to say in the right manner which they ought to be said, O God, because my faith is in thee and I am dependent upon thee, O Lord. And may those who hear Jesus receive the word as coming from thee. Even as Paul said to Thessalonians, that they had taken the word as though it were the very word of God, which indeed it was, even though it was on the lips of a man. Help us tonight, Lord, that we may be as those in the days of Job with their mouths open for the latter rain. Grant, my God, circumcised ears tonight. Gather up our thoughts, we pray, they may be brought into subjection to thee. Yes. So, Lord God, it will have been good to be here. These things we pray and believe in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. In the book of Hebrews 11, chapter 20 to 22, it says here, by faith Isaac blessed Jacob and Esau concerning things to come. And by faith Jacob, when he was dying, blessed both the sons of Joseph and worshiped, leaning upon the top of his staff. By faith Joseph, when he died, made mention of the departing of the children of Israel and gave commandment concerning his bones. If I were to ask you tonight, what do you think of the faith of Abraham in the light of the present day situation in this world? If you have been a careful student, you know what's going on in the world, and you know your Bible, you would say, Brother Vale, I believe that the faith of Abraham and of Isaac and of Jacob and the great patriarchs like Ezra and Nehemiah, Daniel particularly, that the faith of those men is controlling right at this very moment because it has brought Palestine back to life from being lifeless and has transported the true Israelites, who many of us call Jews, back to the Holy Land. That is exactly what the faith of Abraham has done. In fact, the faith of Abraham not only controlled in those days, but the faith of Abraham is controlling at this very moment. I have no doubt that that is true, because it says back here in the book of Genesis, which we have read on more than one occasion, in the 15th chapter, in the same day that the Lord made a covenant with Abraham, saying, "Unto thy seed have I given this land from the river of Egypt unto the great river, the river Euphrates." And he names the races who would fall, giving Israel the control of that land. And the scripture says that Abraham believed God. And all over here now in the 11th chapter and in the 8th verse, it says, "By faith Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for an inheritance, he obeyed, and he went out, not knowing whither he went." In blind faith, he did not confuse issues. He believed that he was able, by the faith that he had toward God, to be in control to such an extent that he would get to the place, even though he didn't know where he was going. And he knew that when he got there, he would know that he had gotten there. And this faith of Abraham has kept Israel's hope alive for all of these hundreds of years. Generation after generation. Even as it says in Hebrews 11 and 35, women received their dead raised to life. And so it is that this small people has once more gone back to Palestine, and somehow they are going to be ready for the time when Jesus Christ comes and they shall gaze upon him whom they have feared. I realize tonight that there are those who call themselves Jews that are not Jews. I've studied history, not as much as many men, but I have read and understand truly that there are those who are not Jews, as the scripture says. There were those who were not Jews in the days of Jesus. There are those who are not Jews today. They are Khazars. That's what they were. Under King Bulan, when he realized in the 12th century that his people, being phallic worshippers, meaning sex degenerates because they worship sex, had gotten so deep into what would be physical degeneracy, he said this nation of people, some 300 and some thousand or better strong, must change their religion. He called in a Mohammedan priest. He called in a Jewish priest. He called in a Christian preacher. After hearing the three of them, I think it was something like this. He said to the Christian, "What would you be if you weren't a Christian?" And he said, "I would have to be a Jew, because that would be the closest." And he said, "What would you be to the Mohammedan if you could not be Mohammedan, an Icelandic teacher? He said, "I would have to be a Jew, because those foolish Christians believe in three gods and anybody knows there's only one." Well, he said, "There you are. What would you be?" He said, "A Jew." He said, "I'd be a Jew. I couldn't be anything else." He said, "Well, that's true." He said, "True, if you would be a Jew, if you couldn't be something else, and this fellow remains a Jew, so we'll be Jews." So he brought in the priests, and they taught the people the law as they know it today. And he also gave them an alphabet, because though they had a language, they did not have an alphabet. And there's where you get your Yiddish. Today, out of these Jews, these Khazars, these so-called Zionist movements, who themselves will not go back to Israel, but will float their bonds in New York, who propagated communism when the Cunard Bank sent the money to Russia to foment a revolution. Those are the ones who are not Jews. They're Khazars. No one but God knows who a real true Jew is. And I'm not talking about spiritual Israel or spiritual Jewry now. I'm talking about those who are literally the true seed of Abraham. But Abraham's faith tonight is controlling, because they are going back to Palestine. The land is established. Bright clouds, full clouds full of latter rain, are pouring their rain upon the land. And the land is fruitful as it has not been for generation after generation. I want you to see tonight the text that I brought you concerning these men looking into the future and blessing that which had not yet taken place, but was future history. They had a power about them which literally caused the hand of God to move in a specific and certain way, and they did it on the grounds of faith. And we as Christians have read this multitudes of times and have not realized the power of this great faith. Tonight I want to say to you that faith is a legacy. It's an absolute legacy which we have in our power to transmit from generation unto generation. If you do not believe that, turn with me to the book of Timothy, 2 Timothy, the first chapter. This is true in spite of predestination. But I cannot tell you what God told me tonight is. I think it's God. I will have to check further, but I think I see the answer right down the line now. I never saw it before. But listen to the fifth verse. Paul said, when I call to remember the unfeigned faith that is in thee, this faith which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois and in thy mother Eunice, and I am persuaded in thee also. I want you to see that Paul said this faith was absolutely in control for three generations. I want to say tonight on the authority of history, which I know to be true, that Jonathan Edwards claimed before Almighty God that his descendants would all be born again Christians, and there has not been a generation go by, but they have been born into the kingdom of the living God. That is faith that controls. See how it pays to believe God?
Amen.
No matter what your trials were, as I spoke last night and tonight, trials are not an end to themselves. That would be frustration. But trials are to strengthen our faith and to get us to believe God in spite of circumstances. These Israelite people have gone through hundreds of years, and yet for hundreds of years they said, have not our prophets said that we'd be taken back on the wings of an eagle? And they're being taken back on airplanes right now, as we know hundreds of thousands have. Did he not say in the Holy Scripture, I will fish you and I will hunt you? And you know, when you fish, you use a bait. And when God couldn't entice them back, he raised up Hitler and he raised up Stalin and he raised up those people today in the Far East and the Near East. And they are going back right now, as God has turned the gun loose and the hounds of hell loose, and he's made them go back. And as my God said tonight, it takes the wrath of man to praise him, and the remainder of wrath he will restrain. He has taken these Khazars and made them use their money. He has taken communism and used it. He has taken everything in this world and used it for his glory by the faith of Abraham, who thought it must come to pass because that land was his. And God said, go on back. This is it.
Amen.
You see, I don't believe that. I believe that's the predestinating power of God. You're wrong, because it says, by faith Abraham, by faith Moses, and I say tonight, by faith Lee Dale.
Amen.
It's got the same kind of power. You say, why mention you? Because I'm convinced of the Word of God, whether you are or not, and I think you are convinced, and if I knew your names, I'd name you too.
Amen.
Because there is this control here. Let me show you the power of faith as compared to unbelief. The Scripture distinctly says, sin is visited upon the children to the third and fourth generation. Now we know that all sin has its root in unbelief. Is that true? So therefore all sin is unbelief. Unbelief came out of the Garden of Eden, and whatsoever is not of faith is sin. And there's no man before God can do any one of the Ten Commandments in reverse and not find himself in sin because it's in unbelief. Look at any Ten Commandments you want. Why does a man steal? Because he hasn't got enough faith he can get by without stealing. I can mention a lot of things here, but I won't do it. The thing is that all is based in unbelief. Unto the third and to the fourth generation maximum does God visit the sins of the parents upon the children. But what says it of faith? It says the sacred things belong unto the Lord our God. But those things which are revealed unto us belong unto us and to our children for a thousand generations. And every promise in the book, my brother and my sister, is available to you and me on the grounds that we have the measure of faith. As I said the other night, it's my assurance. I've got 25 cents here, 35. Well, that'll at least buy a very good loaf of bread, if not some with icing on it. Maybe buy one of those cinnamon loaves tonight. They said two bits didn't buy any bread around here. All right, I've got enough for a cinnamon loaf with some icing on top. I've got what it takes to get the bread. There's no two ways about it. This is my assurance. And so faith in the Word of God, for from God the measure of faith, rather, is our assurance we have what it takes to procure what God says is available to us. Now, that means then, the things which have been revealed unto us are ours on the grounds of faith. How long? To 1,000 generations. So therefore, the power of faith compared to unbelief is 250 times stronger than unbelief. Do you know tonight you have in your position? You now look around me and I see unbelief.
You see, I see this circumstance rising against me. Do you know tonight that you literally have in your possession a force from God 250 times more powerful than any force all hell can raise against you? I say that's a minimal expression, 250. Because you can hardly compare the world power and force against us as compared to the thought that Jesus said, "Behold, all power in heaven and earth is given unto me. Therefore go you, because I'm with you, and my power is with you because my power is in me." But I say to encourage you, if you wonder how strong your faith is, Abraham grew strong in faith. He didn't get weak. A lot of people say, "Well, when I got to use faith, that shows I'm weak." That shows you're strong. You're strong with the strength of God because God's in your behalf. Abraham grew strong in faith. Why? Because his faith was 250 times more powerful than what his body could usher against him and say, "Now look out, you can tell you're not going to be a father of nations." We can see that tonight. 250 times more powerful. Have you understood what I said? Or are we still sitting in this little morass of hoping somehow, maybe, bless God, if we can just touch the right button, God will begin to move? I say there's something wrong with God's people because they have not exercised their faith and control. I know what I'm talking of. Because, believe me, the Bible's full of it. Because if you can't control by faith, tell me, why does God tell you to use faith? Huh? Do we control by faith or don't we? Come on now, let's look real intelligent here. Because you folks don't believe me tonight. I hate to be ruffling anybody, but I'm smart enough to know, having taught school and been a preacher for a long time now, there are too many of you don't get this and believe it. Because for too many years, nature's been controlling you. And circumstances have controlled you. And people have controlled you. And so you say, "Well, it can't be true." Well, it is true. It is true. Positively is true. Let me show you this again in my text, because it didn't explain it too thoroughly, in the sense of going over it. It says, "By faith Abraham," or rather Isaac, "blessed Jacob and Esau concerning things to come." Now, this faith is controlling because this man believed that what he said would take place concerning his children, and it did take place concerning his children. So therefore they were blessed. And I want you to notice furthermore that in this very chapter, let's go to it, the 27th of Genesis, concerning this blessing that Jacob went to his father, dressed as Esau, you will notice that he said, "Let people serve thee in nations," that's 27:29, "let people serve thee in nations, bow down to thee, be Lord over thy brethren, and let thy mother's son bow down to thee. Cursed be every one that curseth thee, and blessed be he that blesseth thee." Abraham, this man Isaac, opened up his heart in faith toward God. And out of his mouth proceeded a prophecy. Hear what he says concerning that prophecy when his true son Isaac, his true son Esau, came in. And Isaac, his father, said, "Who art thou?" And he said, "I am thy son, thy firstborn Esau." And Isaac trembled very exceeding and said, "Who? Where is he that hath taken venison and brought it to me? And I have eaten before thou camest and have blessed him. Yea, and he shall be blessed." Let me tell you something. In this day, the word of God had not been recorded. They had lost the beauty of the handed down word from Adam and Enoch of successive generations. So now God starts all over again with Abraham. And he picks him out as a jewel amongst nations. And he said, "Abraham, of all the people, there is none that I have respect for save you." And he began dealing with Abraham and revealing himself and his ways unto Abraham. Now this man Isaac, all he knows is what his father taught him. Now God begins to deal with Isaac. And it's a true spirit of prophecy. The very same spirit, my brother and my sister, that gave this word that you and I have got. And this word poured through his lips. And he believed what the Spirit of God spoke in his lips. The same, and he controlled the same way that you and I believe what the Spirit of God poured into this book. We believe it and thereby control. Do you see it? Huh? My notes aren't very good, but I still can't do it. Do you see it? he prophesied. And he said, yea, and it shall come to pass. And it did. Now did this come to pass? All right, let's find out. It's over Numbers. Numbers, the 23rd chapter. Here's Israel. Not Esau. Not Esau, but Israel, Jacob. This group, 400 years later, the 12 tribes multiplied and strong. 23 and 8. How shall I curse whom God hath not cursed? How shall I defy whom the Lord hath not defied? 19 and 20. God is not a man that he should lie. You hear it? Neither the son of man that he should repent, change his mind. Hath he not said and shall he not do it? Or hath he spoken and shall he not make it good? Behold, I have received commandment to bless, and he hath blessed, and I cannot reverse it. This man by faith, Abraham, was able to look down through the ages and say concerning Jacob, this man is blessed, and people will bow down and serve him. And that's exactly what took place. He said he's going to be satisfied with the corn. And they walked in and took over Canaan land just the way God said they would. There is no mistake about it. I want to tell you that Abraham's faith brought this to pass. Do you see it tonight? I've got an urgency and I don't know that I'm getting it over. There's something in my heart telling me this is great news, this is powerful, and I don't know if I'm receiving it or you're receiving, but I know it's true. And I can see it tonight all through history, these thousands of years, that Abraham's faith has brought this to pass tonight. Bless God. And it's the same faith you and I have got. The very same faith. This is a faith that wasn't earning. That didn't say, I hope something is going to take place. This is not a faith that says, oh my, I wish something happened. This is a faith that says, the Holy Ghost has spoken in me, and it's got to come to pass. It's thus saith the Lord. People say, if I can get a prophet to do it, I'm going to tell you one thing. A prophet, my brother, my sister, is no more or no less than an instrument through whom God speaks. It's still the Word of God. Whether it's in the mouth of the prophet or in a book here, it's the same Holy Ghost. It's the same Word of God. And if they agree not, then the man's a false prophet. Abraham's faith was controlling in this man, Isaac. And he said he's going to be blessed. And when they brought out Balaam, a diviner, and he did his best to marshal the host of the enemy against the people, there was nothing he could do because a man had laid hands on this man, the progenitor of those 12 tribes, and he said, they shall be blessed. Why do you see it tonight? The ability we have in this faith. The power we've got in this faith. Here was a man who believed God. We've got the very same faith that Abraham had, as I explained to you, night after night. The 24th chapter, 5 to 9. How goodly are thy tents, O Jacob. Notice it. And thy tabernacles, Israel. As the valleys are they spread forth. As gardens by the riverside. Isn't this pure poetry? As the trees of Lynalus, which the Lord hath planted. As cedar trees beside the water, he shall pour water out of his buckets, and his seat shall be in many waters, and his king shall be higher than Agag, and his kingdom shall be exalted. God brought him forth out of Egypt. He hath, as it were, the strength of a unicorn. He shall eat up nations, his enemies, and break their bones and pierce them through with arrows. He couched down. He lay down as a lion, as a great lion. And who shall stir him up? Blessed is he that blesseth thee, and cursed is he that curseth thee. Do you realize tonight that this is exactly what the Scripture said here? Go back again. That 11th chapter. By faith, Isaac blessed Esau and Jacob and Esau. Even Esau, we're not going to worry about him, though. Concerning things to come. And exactly what this man Isaac said is exactly what took place. Jacob was positively blessed, and there wasn't a thing anybody could do about it because this man stood in faith on the Word of God, and he said, it's got to come to pass. If you don't believe this is true, my brother, my sister, then tell me how it was that in the days of Noah, when Noah used his faith in Almighty God, and the world had a revelation which was enough to save them from this terrible tragedy, enough to make every man, woman, and child free, they all perished except that man whose faith saved himself and the seven others with him. We hold this thing too lightly called this power of faith. We hold it far too lightly as though it were a bauble or something we can fool with. And say, well, I'll use my faith if I feel like, and if I don't feel like, I won't use my faith. But don't you see the consequences? Don't you see what happens when people use their faith? It controls. It's no longer being controlled. It's no longer the car driving wildly down the road, you trying to hang on. But now, as we say, the man is in the driver's seat. Let us notice tonight that this blessing which I read to you back in that 27th chapter was far more spiritual than physical. If it had been a physical blessing, it couldn't have been by faith. It's got to be spiritual. Whenever we are going to receive from God, we must come under spiritual law, because God is a spirit. It doesn't say God is spirit. It says God is a spirit, probing personality. I can never be sold for 1 minute that God fills all the universe. Because if he filled the universe, he'd be in this microphone and that microphone. He'd be in every sinner and every bench, and that's pantheism. God is a spirit, but he's personality. And I let it go then. I cannot believe in omnipresence on the very grounds that would be pantheism. But I can see where omnipotence plus omniscience would make him just as good as though he were omnipresent. It is not as though God were present to all things, but all things are present to God. But you can't see him. He's spirit. He's person. And therefore, whatever we got to do with God must be on a spiritual concept in faith. And so, therefore, this man Isaac will bless his children, particularly Jacob, to whom the word of God came, on a truly spiritual basis. And that's exactly what his blessing was, far more spiritual than it was physical. Now, he left home without a material benefit. He left home, he didn't have one single solitary thing, maybe a suitcase full of clothes if he had that. But he comes back, blessed with many children, with his wife, with an abundance, camels and oxen, cattle, sheep, goats, everything that a man could wish. This man came back a potentate. He didn't have to fight. He simply believed God and obeyed him. This faith of Isaac was working in this man's life. People could not get the best of him. His own brother said, I'm going to kill him. But his father had said, this boy shall live and people shall bow down. And as much as his brother hated him and tried to kill him, there's nothing to do about it. He came back at peace with his brothers. And the faith of this man Isaac was absolutely in control on that field when his brother Esau came toward him with 400 men to destroy him and his loved ones. There was nothing that this man could do. Why? Because the faith of Isaac was absolutely in control. My brother, my sister, you don't need to be alive the full length of the control of the power of faith. As long as you have believed God truly, you can positively go to your grave as did Abraham, as did Isaac, and you can see that God is going to move nonetheless. I think of Mueller, who prayed for 50 years for certain men, and it was only after Mueller's death that some of those parties literally came in to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. There is your power of faith manifested. It is a spiritual concept. And I say tonight, if we're bringing this home, if we are going to control our loved ones, if we are going to have a literal power in our community, there is only one way you can do it, and that's by faith. The church has neglected it. They've used their radio. They've used television. They've used literature. They built up Sunday schools. And here now I'm going to tell you just as flat-footed as I can, I can't find Sunday schools in the Bible. And any church that goes around with a bus to build up its organization, to bring in kids, is going to reap the whirlwind. Because they'll come in, you'll fill your church full of goats, you'll have a second generation of people who they've been brought up in church and haven't been born again. It's the parents that are responsible for the children. We're so dog lazy. We won't take time for family worship. We won't take time to teach our children this valuable legacy of faith. We'll build great big buildings and plants that are worth hundreds of thousands of dollars and put our kids there for 1 hour a week at the very most, not even that. Show me where Israel ever separated the kids from the adults. You show me a young people's group that hasn't been a headache and had a headache and a headache and a headache, and I'll bow down and kiss their feet. Oh, I got some startled looks, but I don't mind. I'm used to having this kind of outburst. Because what I believe, I say, and I'll stand on it. I want any man to show me where I'm wrong. You say, but Brother Bale, the end justifies the means. That's exactly what he said. You fall in the pit of the devil. History proves that when a church gets taught heading on Sunday school, its usefulness is absolutely gone. Preach it, Brother Bale. I've got the facts. I'm not talking to you lightly. I'll back up by the word of God or by history when I see everything I make a point of. I've got the history books. I say if we are going to control my brother and my sister, it's going to be in this kind of faith where we lay the law down in faith and say, thus it shall be because God says so. There's no other way to control. Listen, don't you realize that faith controls nature? Don't you know that faith controls devils? Don't you know that faith positively not only controls nature and devils, but controls diseases, but it controls people? Because it says right here that this man Isaac blessed his two children, but particularly Jacob, because that's the man risen above all things, and he was positively in control, and they were blessed. The saddest thing I believe that we can do as Christians, and we're guilty, as I said the other night, just like the world, we try to lavish upon our kids those things we didn't have. We do everything we can to give them material things, but we forget the spiritual. I'll never forget when I saw a little thing on television one night. Years and years ago, I used to like to see Danny Kaye, so I heard he was on TV, so I thought, well, I better go and see just what this program is like. So I went and looked at it, and it was a world travelogue. And I'm going to tell you this. I saw a little Italian boy with not nearly anything what the Americans have. Not nearly what we have over here. But that little fella had a real seraphic, angelic look on his face as he sang a song. And I thought, that's it. That's it. Over here in America, our rotten psychology says, give the kids everything they want. It said, don't rebuke them. Don't chase them. Just let them do anything they want. They want to throw their mush, don't inhibit them. That's good enough. Just give them everything. Clothes and everything else. Doesn't matter what it is, just lavish on them. And what have they turned out to be? They turned out to be rascals. Because within the human heart, there's the ability to be right or be wrong. To love or to hate. We've allowed our kids to hate and haven't curbed them. We've allowed our kids to be materialistic and have not curbed them. But many places in Europe where they don't have material things, they have taught the children that a crust of bread and a sunset is far more beautiful than a carved turkey with no sunset. We're guilty. Because I told you, faith is a pure spiritual concept. And faith brings up its children the way the Word of God is. And by the Word of God, faith in that Word of God, we are in absolute control. The Scripture says, bring up a child the way it ought to go. Not the way modern psychology says, the way it ought to go. That means you've got faith in what God says. And by that faith in that Word, you're going to control. And you look down the avenue of the time, you say, though he depart, and though he go out, and though I see those things that break my heart, I know that my Redeemer lives. And I've got my hands upon that child's heart, and he's got to come back because I believe God. I see exactly what tonight what Isaac saw back there. And he said, I have my hands in control. And this day when education is so materialistic, and science so-called is destroying the intellects of our young, I'm going to tell you one thing, my brother, my sisters. Faith is still greater than any teacher. Faith is still greater than any world system. Because faith is what God has given us. To believe His Word and to claim it, that He, God, may reach down and reward us because we have believed in Him. Abraham believed God. It was counted him for righteousness. Isaac believed God. And he saw the history of his two children. And he saw way down there in the ages when a man rose up in the full fury of his strength, marshaling all the hosts of the enemy, even calling upon God. Balaam could not prophesy that which would destroy. He could not advise that which could destroy. There was nothing. Israel came marching on his, oh, how goodly are thy tents. He went into a rapture concerning the beauty of people. Why? Because a man weighed back there centuries ago, blessed them concerning things to come. Do you believe that?
Amen.
You better believe it's the Word of God. Right. You say, Brother Bill, I don't know how it works. Who cares how it works, as long as it works? I don't know how it is a car works, except what I sure want it to work. I don't know how this watch works, and I care as long as it works. The Scripture said, Abraham considered not his own body. That word means to thoroughly perceive by way of the mind. He didn't bother to. It's in the word stagger. What does that mean? Judge diversely. Don't get your eyes on things. Get your eyes on God. And go back to the import again. Listen, when this man Isaac blessed Jacob, he thought it was Esau. Do you follow it? But the Spirit of God spoke to him, just like this Bible here. And he put faith when he laid his hands upon that man. He opened his heart and said, "Oh, Spirit of God, move in me now as I bless him, because, Lord, I'm depending on you to do this for me. And what comes through my mouth, this good thing, because you're a good God, will direct this boy and will lead him and will control him." The same Spirit of God wrote this book.
Amen.
Listen, this word in your mouth and mind controlling the future is just identical to what went on in Isaac. Just the same. And he said, "I've said it, and it's got to stand." Don't you see tonight, my brother, my sister, that under normal situation he could have taken back the blessing? He couldn't. He couldn't. Why? Because it was God in there. And God's in this book tonight. God is in that book tonight. This is the complete revelation of God. Everything this book says, God stands behind. Age generations went by. And it all came to pass exactly as God said in the mouth of this man. Now listen. Let me just look at this verse again. He blessed them concerning things to come. What bothers you and me tonight? Anybody here that's not nervous, that never has any nerve trouble? Let me see your hands. All nerves, don't we? All have nerves, isn't that right? Why do we get nervous? Not over the meal we just ate, but over the meal we might not eat. Right? You don't get nervous over the bed you slept in last night. You get nervous over the fact you might not have bed tomorrow night, right? You're not nervous over the money you got in your pocket, if you got any. You're nervous over the money you might not have in your pocket. I'm showing you now that what makes trouble is not right this moment, but it's what's going to happen after this moment. What is going to come upon me is what drives us and makes us worry. Huh? Even the man who steals is not worried having stolen. He's worried about getting caught. Now do you see it tonight? He blessed them concerning things to come. He literally settled their future. He did not say, he said it as the words of God, and everything blessed would come. It said here that everything that came, nothing could harm him. All things work together for good to them that love the Lord. To them that are the called according to his purpose. And he blessed them that no matter what came, they were a blessed people. We don't believe that, do we? Huh? We don't believe it. We say, we mouth it. We say, well, that's right. That's Bible. That's Bible. That's Bible. You know what the Scripture tells us, what we're supposed to be? We're supposed to be living epistles. This is God's epistle. We are supposed to be living epistles. What God wrote in our hearts, in our lives, that we might demonstrate. If that's the case then, as living epistles, we ought to know that everything blesses us regardless. If we understood that tonight, there wouldn't be one case of nerves here or anyplace else. There wouldn't be one case of frustration. Because believe me, Jacob did not lead a frustrated life. He led a blessed life. He had his troubles. He was consumed by the heat of the day, consumed by the frost at night. He was a man whose wages were changed 20 times, but he went on believing God. He knew what it was to flee in terror and stand there. He knew what it was to get before Almighty God and wrestle his way through. But there was a man who was blessed. My brother, my sister, I don't care tonight if you've got only one dress, or one pair of pants, or one shirt, or one apron, one pair of shoes. You may have only one meal left. You're still a blessed person, and you have the right by your faith to control your future, because this man was never forsaken. Just like David, who said, "I've never seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread." We hit our pillows at night full of worry because we're afraid we're not able for the future. Nobody's able for the future. The thing is that God is able, and we are a blessed people concerning no matter what comes. In sickness, just like the marriage vow, in sickness and in health, for better and for worse, no matter what it is, till death do us part. And that's God coming with God's people. A people concerning the future, they are blessed. Oh, we may have our trials. In fact, we not only may have our trials, we are going to have our trials. We are going to have days of depression in the sense of dark clouds. But always, like Bishop Moore said, if God would make manifest, he give us songs in the night, he must first make it dark. Yea, though I walk through the valley of shadows, thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff are come me. Then he said, you prepare a table in the presence of my enemies. Then he said, my cup's running over. Goodness and mercy follow me all the days of my life. There is the truth. Blessed concerning things to come. Can we learn to look at life and say, no matter what comes, I'm blessed. This thing cannot harm me. But all things work together for good to the love of the Lord. What about Joseph? Taken and put in prison. Almost destroyed. And he said, you meant it for evil, but God meant it for good. Did God make it good? He made him good. The one perfect type of Christ. Never was there found sin in the life of Joseph. Perfection, perfection, perfection. Perfect type of Christ. You'll never find anything that has such a clear type in the whole Word of God. Yes, this hopelessness that binds us because we fear the future. We fear old age. We fear a lot of things. But we're a blessed people. We're blessed concerning things to come. Let it come. Let the terror come by day. Let the arrow fly at noontime. Let the pestilence that walks in darkness. Let it come. 1,000 shall follow left hand, and 10,000 right, and it shall not come nigh. Only with our eyes shall we see it. You ever read the story how Polycarp died? God gave him a vision. His pillow was burning. He said, I shall be martyred at the stake. When they finally caught up to him because somebody had betrayed one who hid him, he said, let no man suffer. He gladly gave himself up to death. He prayed. He said, let me pray an hour or two. He prayed for the church under his control. He prayed for sinners round about him. He prayed for those taking him captive, for his persecutors, the detractors, the betrayers. He prayed for them all earnestly, sincerely. White-haired, venerable, sweet, wonderful man of God. There he goes to the stake. And he said, don't tie me. I won't go away. They lit the faggots. The flames blew around him. Couldn't touch him. They ran him through with the spear. And forthwith came out a flood of water and blood that destroyed the fire. And as his body was dying, there went a pure white dove leaving his body. But there he was in perfection. Blessed man, a blessed martyr. You see, Brother Bill, I'd hate to face martyrdom, so would I. But the point is, we're blessed people concerning things to come. Heighten their depths, he said. Life for death is all the same. We're blessed people. No matter what comes, we are blessed concerning that event. For nothing shall by any means harm us as we tread upon scorpions and adders. Do we believe that tonight? Brother, sister, that's our faith. Faith is control. Why would God give us faith if we couldn't control that? What good would it be? What good would be your faith as Abraham to see conditions rise up against you and then say, well, this faith is lovely, but it doesn't do a thing for that. It's controlled because it said, Abraham, you're going to be a young man again. And Abraham controlled the future. He became a young man. Faith controls. And there isn't any way that you and I are going to control the future except we use our faith. We launch out on the Word of God and make demands on it. But let's look a little further. It says here that by faith Joseph went, no. By faith, Jacob, when he was dying, blessed both the sons of Joseph, and he worshipped, leaning on the top of his staff. By faith, he worshipped. You know, God being a spirit, there's no other way you can worship except by faith. You've got to believe that God is, and he is. You've got to believe that when you say Jesus, you're in his presence. Because I told you in the Greek, the word boldness is parhesia, which means a freedom of speech. The minute I say God, I am right in the Holy of Holies. Right in divine presence. You say, how could it be? I don't know how it can be. I don't care how it is. I only know the Word of God says it, and I stand on it. Let God strike me dead tonight if it isn't true. I'm not hiding me boasting. I'd just soon die of it anyway. I mean it. The minute we cry, God is just as though we're right in the Holy Holies. We are in His presence. Because He said, come boldly to the throne of grace. And He didn't say, come boldly. If He just meant it figuratively. When he said, Christ in our heart by faith, then he must be in my heart. He's got to be there. He's not sitting on a throne. He's in my heart. Oh, you say, he is on a throne. His spirit's in my heart. And if he said, come bold every time, the minute I stay with boldness, oh God, and I'm bold to come in faith, I am right in his presence, right by the throne of grace. Worship in faith.
because you can't reach God any other way. Let me ask you a question now. I'll try to be practical. How much faith do you bring with you every time you come to church? Do you believe you're going to be fed? Do you believe that every one of you has a ministry? One hath a tongue? Does that scare you? I speak in tongues, have spoken in tongues, and shall speak in tongues. One hath an interpretation. Have you ever interpreted? I've had my interpretation checked by the greatest men of God in the world. They said it's accurate. Without the Spirit of God in it, said it is true. Have you prophesied? I've prophesied even the place of predictability where the events have come to pass on more than one occasion. I'm not saying I've got these things. I'm not trying to draw. I'm just trying to show you that, brother, sister, listen. Do you come to church believing in a ministry of where a preacher gets up and does it all? And I've been teaching. This is different. But believe me, if I came back and taught on the Holy Spirit and the gifts of Spirit, I would expect you to listen to what I bring out of the Word of God, and I would expect you to hear the truth in the Word of God, and I'd expect you to obey the Word of God in faith, and you would, who had a gift of prophecy, prophesy, and you had a gift of tongues, you would speak in tongues. And you had a gift of interpretation, having spoken in tongues, you would say, God, let me interpret, and I would teach you from the Word of God how it is done. And I can prove to you I can do it. But do you expect to do it? What do you bring to church with you? Well, I hope this morning the preacher preaches something good. Did you believe he'd preach something good? Say, my, I'm dry this morning. Did you believe the preacher's going to water your soul? Or is it like when I was in Florida? Well, we fought devils down there. Oh, my, you can have Florida lock, stock, and barrel. Especially down there from the middle down around West Palm Beach, where all those kooky people are. You talk about lights that go on and off like neon sign and pinball machines. They see them day and night. And, oh, their revelations. We had our church full of them because I'd lay hands upon the sick, tell them what's wrong, and give them a treatment. That's what they called it. Millionaire comes and say, Brother Dale, can I have a treatment? I say, well, that's not what you call it, but I know what you mean. I'll pray for you. Finally, I got so fed up with all those people there that had more devils than anything else. I said, God, look, either bring them in or get them out. Lord, and I maybe made a mistake. Maybe I should have let them in there and preach more to them, but I said, God, help me get them out. Give me a text. And God gave me the text, and the text was this. In him was life, and the life was the light. And so I want to tell you, I said, you people talk about your life. You talk about your revelation. I said, it came straight from the pit of hell because you haven't even got life. There's no such thing as a dynamic revelation apart from life. That isn't 100% true. It was true that night, I can tell you that. I emptied the house. But every now and then someone would sneak in. And I'd see that old sign up there, a familiar spirit, divination. My heart would sing, I'd say, oh my God, not again. But one morning they came to church and was deader and doornail. I tell you, my heart began going flip-flop, and I began feeling that nauseating feeling in here. And I said, oh, God, have pity on me. Not again. Is there some more of that terrible devil power around here? And he said, no, no, no. And he gave me a vision. And I saw the dear, sweet sisters that had just got tradition, threw off their aprons and slapped their hair into shape, you know, and did their best to fix their face a bit and straighten their dresses and jump in the car. And I saw that the one dear old boy out there, he just got through raking a bit and hoeing a bit, you know, killing time waiting for Ma to do the dishes. And he sucked out his cigarette and jumped in the car. And the Lord showed me, said, there it is. He said, it's a human spirit. There wasn't anybody that morning brought a true spirit of Christ in faith to worship that whole church. So what did I do? Well, I brought my faith, bless God, because I'd got a message ready. I get my anointing before I hit the pulpit. If you're looking for a guy to run around and jump around and preach extemporary, don't look at me because I'm a teacher. I don't fool with that kind of stuff. I like Dr. Price. The young man said to him, Brother Price, I want to tell you. He said, I preached that sermon. I thought it was all right. He said, and I didn't use notes. And Dr. Price said, that's right. You didn't have to tell me. I think you ought to know ahead of time. I was all primed up, so I knew what to do. I said, all right, let's sing a song. We got up and we sang, Jesus, Jesus, how I trust. I said, don't sing it that way. I said, sing it, Jesus, Jesus, how I trust you. How I proved you or not. He's either real or person, he's not God at all. On the throne, he's your coming judge. In here, he's your deliverer. Come on, let's sing it. And I took another couple songs. Just began talking and pleading, and pretty soon the atmosphere began to change. Oh, and I said, now I know we can get places. Now let's pray. Operation, the Holy Ghost manifestation. Stand up, I stood up hundreds of times before my peoples and knew what was going on in the congregation, what kind of sin. Not knowing the names, but knowing who was sick in the sense people were there. Never saw them before, described their condition perfectly. and be absolutely healed within a split second. Why? Because when God's Holy Spirit is there to tell you what's wrong, it's the same Holy Ghost there to heal you. Because the current that runs that light, runs that fan, runs this machine here. And if I know I've got light in the building, I know I've got power for this machine here.
Amen.
All I got to do is direct the power towards the machine. So we had results. And I'm bringing it back to you. How many of you jump up in the morning? You're all a dither and all a rush, and you rush off to church. You say, now let's hear a good sermon. Let's get something. You go home flat on a pancake. Yes, sir, you're right, kiddo. I'm a nasty preacher, but I got to lay it on the line. Don't you ever look for a doctor to bring a cure in his medicine bag, and don't you look for a preacher to bring revival. It's up to you. Because it's only when every joint supplies the body maketh increase of itself in love. And it says the little members that don't think they're very much, they're absolutely necessary. Huh?
Right.
It says that this man worshipped in faith, and you simply cannot worship God apart from faith. You've got to believe when you come together. One has this and one has that and one has the other thing. And all together you make a mighty moving force of God. And if prophecy is the right kind of prophecy, not tongues this time. It says a sinner coming in will hear in you that prophetic utterance, and his heart will be searched and falling down before God. He'll say, God's in you, the truth. Listen, that's the thing that happened to me. I went to an independent church when I was just, my sister had been raised literally from the dead. Almost from the dead, she died. I heard those people not prophesying, I heard them testifying. When I heard them testify, I knew that they knew God. I knew God was in them, but I knew God was not in me. And I heard them just that once. All it took was one real demonstration of a church that had God in it. They didn't give an altar call or anything else, so I waited afterward to just see what this was all about. And I said, I'm not what I ought to be. I've got to know God. I knew God within 5 minutes. There it is. Let's have a mighty move of God. You're never going to have a mighty move of God till every joint supply. Sit back and say, Brother Vail, it's all right for you because you're a preacher. I've had them say, Brother Vail, you got a good gift of prophecy. Now, say, in other words, you do it all, and you do it all. One day a lady came to me, Brother, we were preaching on the gifts of spirit. She said, but Brother Vail, she said, if you don't know about it, then you're not responsible. I said, Sister, don't tell me that. The thing is, you already are responsible. You better get some tools to do the job. Simple faith always bring forth a tremendous spiritual manifestation. Childlike simple faith. Because that's exactly what this man Isaac had. That's exactly what Jacob had. He leaned upon the top of his staff in faith and he worshipped God. And in faith he opened his heart. And it's about time we opened our hearts in faith to God too. Now, we go a little further. It says, by faith, Joseph, when he died, made mention of the departing children of Israel and gave commandments concerning his bones. You notice it says, by faith, Joseph, when he died. It's good to die by faith. We live by faith, we die by faith. These all died in faith, right? Absolutely true. He died in faith. And it says, by faith, he gave commandments that the children of Israel in departing Egypt over 300 years later would take his bones back to Palestine. Why did he want his bones back in Palestine? Because he knew that his antitype, Jesus Christ, was going to come and die in Jerusalem. And when he came out of the grave, there would be choice saints of God come out of the grave, immortalized and resurrected with Jesus in their glorified body. And he said, take my remains back and put them in a tomb, because I'm going to come forth. And brother, sister, hundreds and hundreds of years later, he came forth exactly. They took his bones back 300 and some years later, and hundreds of years after that, if not in the, I don't know how far, it might have been way over 1,000 years, 1,500, 18, maybe 2,000, I don't know. It could have well been that or better. I know that when Jesus rose and came out of the grave, the bodies of the saints that slept, Joseph's bones rose up. And he was absolutely there in his glorified body. Where are they now? I don't know and care less. That's the out-resurrection according to the book of Philippians when Paul said, if by any means I may attain to the out-resurrection of the dead. It's a resurrection apart, as it were, from resurrection. It's an out-resurrection. Call it the first, call it anything you want. All I can do is go by the word of God and out-resurrection. Because the Old Testament saints are not all raised.
And the New Testament saints are yet to come. And the little group, bless your heart, in our day are going to come out of the ground, and a handful on the earth are going to go up without dying. And they'll go right where those saints are. Do you see it? Do you believe it? And it's a reward to those who have used their faith and been faithful. Because God always says faithful, 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 faithful. That's always He uses, never any other word, faithful. Your faith in God will deny your lust. Your faith in God will deny everything in this world. Your faith in God will not only lie, but it will cause you not to deny in the right place and launch out.
Praise God.
You control the future. You control whether you're going to be in the resurrection or not. You can control your children. You can control tonight. I believe in election. But I'm going to tell you, there's a place within the sovereignty of Almighty God where the faith that God gave man goes to work, and God stands still and watches what goes on. And then He'll bless according to our faith, or He will rescind if we do not use our faith. I believe that. I may not have a scripture to back it right now. I have one in Deuteronomy over there, but I'll leave it be. For the scripture says, I brought you out here to see what was in your heart. And I believe God has laid down in His divine program, although He's still sovereign God, that latitude whereby He stands back and said, will they believe my word? Will they get this promise? If that is not true, how come many people will believe the word of God and be healed, and a whole lot won't, and they won't be healed? How is it someone confess their sins? Because God said, confess the sins and be healed, and they'll be healed, and others won't confess their sins and they'll die. How is it some will pray earnestly for others and be healed, when others will only pray for themselves and not be healed, when those who pray for others do get healed because they believe God? I say within the sovereignty of God, my brother, my sister, there's got to be an attitude wherein you and I have the power to control. It's not one generation, it's more than one, because Peter said, the promise is unto you and to your children, and all that are far off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. And Paul said, in your grandmother, in your mother, and now in you. There's a place of control. You know what you call it? You know what you're doing out here in the cotton fields? You're reaping, aren't you? We say picking cotton, you're not really picking cotton, you're reaping. Before anybody could reap that, somebody had to sow it. And the man controlled his cotton crop by planting what? Wheat, oats, barley? No. He planted cotton. And to make sure he got a good crop, he planted it according to the scientific rules laid down. And he controlled it, and right today he's got a crop. And that's all there is to it. It's all put down in plain English that I'm talking about. You see, I'm tired of what I'm reaping. I'm sick and tired of not having God's blessing. I'm sick and tired of being run around this world, being chased by circumstances. I'm tired by being pushed. And if you're tired of reading in it, then now is the time to use your faith in God and get in the driver's seat.
Amen.
It's time to start sowing in order to get a crop. It's just that simple. If you've got a problem, go to God's Word and see what God said about it and obey what God said about it. Oh, it may pinch you. You may find yourself like the little lady who was in the midst of starvation. The prophet came by and he said, tell me, can I have a drink? And she said, yes, you can have a drink. He said, that's good. While you're about getting me a drink, bake me a little cake. I'm hungry. She said, now that's nice. I'll be glad to get water and I'd give you cake if I could. But I've been out, she said, gathering two sticks, and you can't bake very much with two sticks. What can you bake with two sticks? Especially a little on the ground. Unless you're going to just burn it on one side, she couldn't bake very much. See, I've got a couple of sticks here. I'm going to bake a little cake out of this oil and meal. And then my son and I will have to starve because that's all there were. Now, she said, if I had any more fur, I'd give it to you. He said, nonetheless, according to the word of the Lord, make me a little cake. Feed me. And thus said the Lord, as long as there is a famine, that meal will not waste and the oil shall not fail. She said, did God say that? He said, He sure did, right by my mouth. Well, she said, hallelujah, that's the way out. I'll bake you a real fat cake. And she hastened to do it. But you and I don't believe it, do we? The Bible says, given, it shall be given you. You see, I pay my tithe. Tithe can have a thing to do with this. The tithe of the Lord. You're not giving a red nickel when you give a tithe.
That's right.
You don't give 1 cent. It's not yours in the first place. The tithe is the Lord's.
Yeah.
Now the scripture says, give and it shall be given unto you. And it says, with what measure you meet, it says, men will again press into your bosom. Say, Brother Ben, I'm on poverty road tonight. But you're not the only one. start giving what you got. You say, hold it. I didn't take an offering tonight. I'm thanking you for your offering. But you, if you think I'm asking for an offering, you're not glad to have it back. Just remember what you put it and take it. I'm not worried. So I've done my sowing and I'm doing my sowing. Before I got a nickel from anybody here, I'd already given it away. I do my sowing. Because I know if I want God to bless me materially, I'm going to have to give something material. Because if I plant cotton, I get cotton. If I plant wheat, I get wheat. And if I'm sick and tired of the elements of this world bothering me, and I can't have enough peace and heart because of finances, and 90% of all marriages are going on the rocks because of finances, and that's about the major problem in churches, they either go one way too far or the other too far. The thing to learn to do is what God said. And though you haven't got it, give it anyway. Plant it as a seed. Listen, the scripture says, they that go forth bearing precious seed weeping. What does it mean? In the Orient, it means that there's nothing left in the house but a bit of seed to plant. And the poor farmer says, oh God, I wish I had enough to feed my wife and kids. But he said, if I don't plant this, I won't get a crop. So there, with his heart bursting, he's got the food to put in his kids and his wife's mouth. He deliberately goes to the field, and he sows it, crying, and it says, doubtless, without a doubt, they're going to come again bearing precious seed. Do you believe that tonight? Or do you say, well, I don't think it'll work because it's really not really doubtless. After all, Brother Dale, doubtless is too big a word. Well, it's not for God, my brother, my sister. It's too big for you and me. I haven't even got a home to live in. You say, all right, why don't you buy a little Korean boy a home for $6 a month? Make sure you'll get one yourself. Ever think of that? Control the future. The saddest thing in this world is to see people who are uncontrolled. And it's not only a sad thing, but it's a travesty against the justice and honor and integrity against Almighty God who laid down His laws and told us how to give. Control. Is there control tonight? Brother, sister, if this Bible does not teach faith by control, I don't even know John 3:16. It was by faith of Almighty God that Jesus Christ came and died upon Calvary and thereby controlled your destiny and mine. Everything is a matter of control. And God wants us to be in the driver's seat of control on the grounds of living faith. That's why it says, do good to those that persecute you. Those that hate you, pray for them. When they would attempt to annihilate you, take all the blame. He gives us every directive so that we are not controlled, either by our passions or by circumstances, no matter what it is. But He puts us in a place, bless God, by faith. We are the masters of our faith. We are the captains of our soul. On what grounds? On the grounds of faith. Any other man is like a rudderless ship drifting with the sea of time. I'm tired tonight being pushed around. That's a wonderful way. I'm glad you're tired of being pushed around. That's why a lot of folk are sick. They're sinning. There's no sin in their life. If God puts these things on them. But they just let themselves being pushed around. Why are we failing then? I shall not die but live. They live. Tired of being pushed around. Tired by being buffeted. You don't sit in the driver's seat and say, bless God, from now on no storm will come near my door. You don't sit in the driver's seat and bless God, say the arrow's not going to fly anymore. You don't say there's not going to be any more pestilence. You say, let the arrow fly. Let the pestilence come. It's all going to come. Let it come. That's all right. Let it come. But it's not going to push me around. There's the thing. The working man got tired of being pushed around. So he organized. And when he organized, the boss sent out strike breakers. The black history of America is when some miners rebelled against Rockefeller. They brought in men, troops on flat cars and shot down the men. They wanted to make an honest living. But the blood that they shed and the effort they put forward has control today when labor and management sits down and bargains. And there's a control today there wasn't before. If you read your Bibles carefully, I think maybe unions are going a little too far, but the Bible never condemned the union. It's condemned the man that held back the wages that those men earned. Come on, let's get in the Word of God. I told you, I'll back it up what I said. I won't say listen to the Word of God. And I'm showing you a simple principle of control. It's time that people got tired of being pushed around by the devil. It's time tonight they got tired of sin. And the scripture warns and said, because the evil shall increase and sin shall increase and iniquity shall increase, the love of many shall wax cold. And it's happened right today. We haven't got that old love we had. It's about time we got tired of it all. And stood up in holy dudgeon and said, too long I have not taken thy word, O God, but from now on I walk in thy precepts of faith, and I control from now on. I'm in the driver's seat. And go back and see Abraham, his faith going through Isaac, and they're down through generations, for thousand generations. The faith of that man says, come on, Israel, it's time to come back to the Holy Land. And the voice that was unheard of, a strange stirring in the heart, a fishing and a hunting, and circumstances which you couldn't understand except to say that God makes the wrath of man to praise him, and the remainder he doth restrain. And they begin going back, little by little by little, then suddenly in multitude. And suddenly Israel's a nation today with its own flag, with its own money, with its own fleet, with its own army, with its own parliament. Everything, she's there. She's got her errors. She's making her mistakes. But she's there. Why? Because Abraham's faith is still controlling, brother, sister. You see? Huh? See, now I lay me down to sleep. We're still so afraid of turmoil. See, I pray the Lord and my soul to keep. Instead of saying that, I thank you, God, my soul's as good as kept. How do you know? Because I put my faith in God. See it tonight? There it is. Faith controlled. Faith absolutely controlled. Say, have I got it? I've got it. Can I control? Yes, you can control. Right here. Right in line with this word. It's being done ever since Abraham. But one day it's going to stop when faith turns into reality of the changed, glorified body. But until that, my brother and sister, until that time, we have the ability to please God. Not being those, as James said, like the winds of the sea tossed and driven. Have we been tossed and driven? What is he? Oh, you tossed and driven. Don't you know I've got healing for you in the soul? Don't you know there's a balm in Gilead? Don't you know there's a rest? Don't you know there's a peace? How many got it? You know what? We don't believe for it. We believe just that we were taught. The evangelist. Now, I don't think I'm sour on evangelists. Please don't. But the evangelist came by and he told you a little text. And he told you a bunch of little stories. And he made you all happy that you had escaped hell. And anybody who didn't want to go to hell could go to heaven. And that was the end, wasn't it? And somebody got sick. And a man came by and tried to exercise again. It hasn't solved your problem one bit. This will solve your problem, brother, sister, when you begin and I begin walking and controlling by faith. There isn't any man living can do it but you. There's nobody can do it for you. So Sarah called her husband, Lord. The thing is this, and Abraham was recognized as the mightiest man of faith. Sarah herself had to believe God. Come on now, mothers and daughters. Sarah herself believed God. And Sarah herself reached out and controlled by faith. And when she was 90 years of age, she became young and bore a child. Did she control him? Did Hannah control when she was barren? What about Elizabeth? Zachariah? What about Mary? You show me one person that's in the annals of faith, and I will show you a man who was not controlled, but I will show you a man of control. And when the final page of history is written, what does it say? Does it say, by faith, God opened the Red Sea? No, it says, by faith, Moses opened the Red Sea. Huh? Does it say, by faith, God shut the lion's mouth? He said, no, by faith, Daniel shut the lion's mouth. Does it say, by faith, God kept the three men in the fiery furnace? It says, no, by faith, they were kept alive in the fiery furnace. Huh? Doesn't it? Well, doesn't it? Well, come on, does it? Well, does it? Then did these men control? Did God say to Moses, Moses, you praying all over the Red Sea? He said, Moses, haven't you learned your lesson? What have you got in your hand, man? What have you got in your hand?
Sword of the word, boy. And the minute he raised that word, that was faith. This word's going to work, the sword, the what God said.
And when he did, the sea opened, and Moses opened the sea. Do you see it tonight? Huh? Do you see it? Or don't you tonight? Omnipotence in the hand of man. Were we still waiting and saying, oh, somebody's got to come by and do it for me? He prayed for years, please, Jesus, take this thing away. Why hasn't he taken it away? Please, Jesus, open this door. And you wept. Why hasn't it opened? Don't you see why? He's not going to open it. It's been said dozens of times, if Jesus were here tonight, and you came and said, oh, Jesus, please heal me. He said, I can't heal you. I did it 2,000 years ago. It's already done. That's why he said, you go out and heal the sick. Now, I can't heal a dead dog. Sick dog, I can tell you one thing. I know a lot of folk who wouldn't have been healed if I hadn't been there. Why? Because I controlled by faith. And the diseases went, cancers disappeared, deaf ears open, tumors left, crippled, healed by the power of God. Not all of them, no. But I praise God for the share he's given me. By faith. My family needs help. By faith, I control my family. I've seen myself on the road time after time. My wife would send me a wire, write a letter, and say, the boys are acting up. Get on my face before God and say, God, you know I'm on the road and they're back there. Within a few minutes, I knew everything was all right. It was all right, just as it was. Control tonight. I mean it, literally control tonight. We are omnipotent with his omnipotence. The scripture says, unto whom the word of God came, the prophets, they were God. Don't you know what that makes us? It makes us a powerhouse because of him. Don't let be pushed around. Let's make it count tonight. Make our lives count. Listen, Christ could come anytime. And then it's going to be too late. He'll say, what did I give you? He said, you gave me faith. Did you use it? No. But to those who did use it, he'll say, listen, 10 cities, 5 cities, 15 cities, 20 cities, 50 cities, sit with me in my throne. Praise God. Control tonight. He gave us the ability. Let's use it. Shall we pray? Let's rise. Gracious Heavenly Father, how true is thy word. Tonight I ask you, Lord, before I started on this message, that you'd give me the words. I believe you did. I ask God you'd give me the right expression, the right way to say it. I hope, Lord, I believe you did. I hope I didn't get in there myself, oh God, because it's so possible to put the Spirit of God away, even though we have prayed. But I've got faith in that, Lord. And I did pray in faith, Lord, that you would do it because you've been helping me. Lord, tonight, because of that, and because I know the power of your word,
for he that's full of the word of God shall be full of the power of God. But he that denieth the word of God shall not have the power of God, but shall find himself bereft. Yea, though he call himself a child of God, and indeed be a son of Abraham by faith in Jesus Christ. Yea, though he be one of the elect, and shall not believe my word, but shall decide in his heart that he is a higher authority, and shall put my word to one side. Thus saith the Lord God, I will put him to one side and make him an open chain. But he that heareth in my word, and delighteth therein, and shall perform the acts that I have commanded him, and shall not hesitate, but shall believe, and shall not doubt, and shall not strive unduly, but shall rest in the Lord God. Behold, I shall exalt him in a proper place unto kings, and he shall reign as a priest and a king with me.
Hallelujah, Jesus. Lord, I believe that you said that. I believe you said that there's trouble coming in Italy. Bless God, I see Italy tonight. I know I see something's coming. I don't know what it is. I can't say it's war, but watch Italy. And I don't say that because the Catholic Church there, but watch Italy. Watch it. Something's coming. My Father and my God tonight, I believe you, Jesus.
Yes, God.
Oh, hallelujah. I believe you tonight, Lord. I know God tonight. I've asked these folks to do a lot of things I'm not doing myself. But you know, Jesus, I'm believing in my heart, too, and I'm trying to get there with him. I'm not asking, oh, God, to take a step I'm not trying to do. But, Lord, I want to do it, and I know you're helping me. Father, I know that day by day since we've been praying and holding each other up that you're a good God, and there's reality in all these things have been changing, Lord.
And they're going to keep changing. Hallelujah. One day, Lord, we're not just going to see a photograph of angels like a cloud up in the sky, but we're going to see real angels. Hallelujah. Coming for to carry us home. Bless God. When His holy ones will come. Praise God. What dear old Enoch saw, tens of thousands of them. Praise God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I can see your threshing machine, Lord. This is the end harvest. I can see it, oh God, tonight. Standing there because it's all but over. Just now the purifying, it's the winnowing tonight. I see it. The harvest in, but it's the winnowing. It's the separation time. Thus saith the Lord. I know it tonight. I see the heap of wheat. I see the chaff. I see it all tonight. This, brother, sister, it's all over. Now, the grain's in. But remember, when God spoke in His Word, it wasn't as we have it today. They brought in the grain. Then they tramped on it. Because thou shalt not muzzle the ox that treadeth out the corn. This is the last day of corn. Foul being brought out. Cursed be man that turneth away from the last day revelation and maketh organization and man his friend and his trust. Because he's turned to Egypt. And under the foot of Egypt and with Egypt shall he fall. Remember, the devil doesn't have any use for his tools. Care who they are. Only God will honor his people because only his word is real. Hallelujah. I believe the true report. Hallelujah to the Lamb. Hallelujah. I'm all on Jesus' side, on the altar sanctified to the word of sin I've died. Hallelujah to the Lamb. Glory be to God. Praise Him, praise Him, praise Him, praise Him. Hallelujah. I believe it, Lord. Glory to God. Oh, hallelujah. I knew, Lord, that You were in this message. I know it's true, Lord. Abraham's faith. Bless God, I know it. I knew it, Lord, when people said false doctrine, said they couldn't go back. I knew something was there. Because You gave it to me. Hallelujah. When You taught me Enoch's faith, rapturing faith, Lord, it was real when You taught me 12 years ago. And then I didn't even really believe what I preached when You gave it to me. But it was true. Tonight it's the same thing, oh God. I believe, Lord Jesus Christ, for this people tonight. I believe my Father and my God were going on. Hallelujah. I don't care how, but I know we are. We may never meet again, Lord, but that doesn't matter. Doesn't matter. Oh, God, that people be stirred. Their interest, Lord, electrified. Their personalities, oh, God, change. Every action dynamic because they're in the driver's seat. Hallelujah. The meek shall inherit the earth. Surely you said of your own people, my God is clear as the sun, fair as the moon, but as terrible as an army with banners. Hallelujah. Your beloved, set her out. Oh, she looked to you like mounds of wheat because she was the pure wheat. She smells so sweet, and she was so beautiful. Oh, bless God. I see it. Hallelujah. What you're doing in your seventh, Lord. What you're going to do by 1970, I don't know, but you're going to do it. Maybe, Lord, the Congress calendar is right. They'll take over by then. Let them do it. I don't care. I do care, Lord, but my trust in Thee,
oh God.
Hallelujah. By 77, who knows? Who knows? I don't know, Lord, but I know You're doing it in the seven because I see it again. My God. Hallelujah, and I will perfect my work, saith the Lord God, and I will bring it to pass, and the abomination shall cease. And the delectable, light, delightful things that a man hath hungered and thirsted after, behold, they shall be gone and turned to gravity's mouth. But ye that have taken the heat of the day and borne the brunt of my service, saith the Lord God, you have humbled yourselves and not made yourselves great, but you have been servant unto all men. Thus saith the Lord God, I will raise you, and I will clothe you, even with my own diadems, and my skirt shall be about you. Yea, behold, I shall shatter you, and I shall shatter you, and ye shall know what it is to inherit the blessing of the Lord God, and ye shall delight in those. Behold, your eyes have been closed, and your heart's been hardened, and you haven't known these things, nor can you know them in the natural. For behold, if you knew them, even then you could not know them, because you cannot comprehend the way you are. But one day when your capacity shall be enlarged, you shall be with me in my paradise. You shall be in my glory. Behold, then shall your capacity have been enlarged, and ye shall know these things and enjoy. And behold, all the mystery shall have passed away. And all the goadings and all the trials, that which was so bitter, that which was so hard, shall be turned sweet. And behold, the gravel in thy mouth shall be good things, while the good things in the mouth of the wicked shall turn to gravel. And thou art a blessed people, and shall be a blessed people. Believest thou not that thou hast been controlled? I knew you before the foundation of the world, and shall go on to know you. That is not controlled. I know not what it is. And behold, you are my body. And I have given you that power, that ye should know the power of Almighty God. That ye might control not one another, unto fear and disdain, but in love and in honor,
yes,
being a joy to each other, restoring, captivating by thy goodness and thy righteousness and all thy sweetness. Behold, this is it, saith the Lord God. Behold, there is your control. Walk on in faith, ye brave, ye that faint not, ye that would delight yourself. Walk on and be of good cheer. Behold, the night is dark, but the day also is at hand, and the trumpet shall soon sound. Then shall the dead be quickened. Then shall the glory of God fall. and all mystery shall be closed.
Ye shall know as ye are known. Behold, this thing shall be done because it is now at hand, and shall surely not only rest at hand, but even as my hand is upholding my good things, even now shall this unfold. Yes. Even that with the last trump, even the seventh trump shall sound, and time shall be no more. Then ye shall know. My Father and my God, I praise your name tonight, Jesus. I know. He's real, isn't he? Hallelujah. Don't you love him tonight?
Amen.
My God, we didn't ask him for this service. We didn't ask him for what he said tonight. I believe God spoke in this vessel tonight. If he didn't speak through me, I don't know. I don't know God. I didn't prepare my heart one bit for that. God did it tonight. Oh, hallelujah. What just preaching his word does. What believing his word.
Yes.
It's so sweet to trust you, Jesus, just to take you at your word. Just to rest upon your promise. Just to know, thus saith my Lord. Hallelujah. Oh, he shall bring it to pass afterward. Hallelujah. Our afterward's almost over. Glory to God. It's almost over.
Yes.
It's almost over, but hallelujah.
Yes.
Oh, hallelujah. The lame are going to leap pretty soon. Hallelujah. Oh, the blind are going to see and the deaf are going to hear. Oh, and the uncircumcised, bless God, they'll not commit. No, they won't. But the sanctified shall be the delight of the Lord. Hallelujah. Praise God. Not like Ephraim, a cake half-baked either. No, sir. For we have been done well in the oven of the Lord. Glory to God. The first fruit, the choice fruit. Not as though the sun rained upon the choice fruit of the top of the tree, making it first fruit. But now in the fiery afflictions, the furnace of affliction, we're coming forth, bless God, brown on both sides. Hallelujah. Fire's tried it. The gold of God. Hallelujah. Worthy, worthy is the Lamb. Praise you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Somebody sing that song, I love him. I'm no singer, but somebody started because he first loved me. Anybody that can sing, start it out.
I love him. I love him.
Hallelujah. Ago, when I was praying one night asking God for revelation, I saw God exactly as Ezekiel saw him. I saw the likeness of the appearance of a man. In beautiful greens and blues, I saw him. I was calling upon God the Father to show me God the Father. I saw suddenly one come from the other. As the Son said, I come from the Father and I go back to him. I saw the second go back to the first because they are one. All heaven wasn't emptied when Jesus came, just that in relation to man. God, very God. The Spirit of God spun me to my feet. I had been facing no one before. Off my knees, I was faced right around. My eyes opened, and I heard myself as my lungs heaved and said, watch and pray. Jesus will come, is coming soon. God picked me up in midair like a book of hell suspended. I could, this 80 people saw this. I'm not lying to you. Held me suspended in midair, and he crashed me down to the cement floor. My head hit a great big plank. Whether the plank went through my head or the head went through the plank, God knows. My brain should have scattered. But no mother could have laid a child's body on a pillow as soft as God laid me, just like that on the floor. And there the Spirit of God stayed upon me for some time. I went around for months waiting for Christ to come in the next 5 minutes. He said, watch and pray. Jesus is coming soon. Tonight as I closed my eyes, I saw the granaries had been filled. The hoppers were empty. Tonight God says it's all over. I'm not telling you it is all over. It's all over. I'm telling you in time, 27, 28 years ago, roughly. When quarter of a century ago, I was waiting for Christ to come in 5 minutes. I went around days for roughly 6 months. He said he's coming, but tonight I saw he had come in this sense that we're not going to be waiting that long time. It's no longer an imminency. Lord, you're going to come, but it's going to be years and years. It's not. Jesus is coming. You can wait. It's as though he had come. That's all. You see what I mean? The time has shortened.
Yes, it is.
The time has shortened. In the days of the voice of the last messenger, time shall no longer be delayed. This is it. Right. The process of the second coming of Christ is in process. It's not as though he had stepped out and taken us, but the literal machinery is now in gear. You follow me tonight? You get what I'm trying to get to you?
Yeah.
You get it? You see tonight? That you see the process. You see, Christ cannot suddenly say, "Here, I'm coming." No, he cannot. There must be certain things take place, which means it's now. And those certain things have taken place and are taking place. He is in the process. You follow me?
Yes.
You get it? You see, I've got to be so careful what I say. Because people say, "Well, Brother Vail said so and so." Brother Vail did not say so. When I refer to future tense and past tense, I am not saying it has taken place, but I'm telling you this. When God puts things in a past tense, know this, that's it. "Abraham, I have made you a father." That's it. He's going to be. Now he says the granaries are loaded. It's as good as done. The hoppers are no longer there. The machinery stands idle. See what I mean? I'm not saying it's all idle. Those souls won't come. Something done. But I'm telling you what it is. I see what I'm trying to get across, the imminency. If you knew what I knew, you see, in this thing, from that 27 years ago about it, if you knew, and you could look and say, "God, I waited all those months. I went around waiting for you. I looked at the heavens, and I kept looking every night. All I could say, 'He's coming, he's coming, he's coming.' He's been 25 years and he hasn't come." And he said, "He's coming soon." And it felt 25 years of like 5 minutes. But now, to make time real to me, he's not saying, "I am coming." He's saying it just as though I had come. Time is so short. Not 25 years ago. Look up, your redemption draws. I don't know what's coming, but I know one thing, he is coming. May I be ready. I ain't needed. Oh, I don't see I'm ready. I don't see I feel what I ought to feel, but folks, hallelujah, I'm going to feel it. And I'm going to have it. Or he couldn't have made me want it. If it's doubt there, if it's in here calling, it's got to be out there somewhere. Because God never allowed a hunger that couldn't be filled. They that hunger and thirst shall be filled. I hunger for one thing, for righteousness. I do. Oh, my. Every bit of malice, everything, every thought, everything brought in captivity. God's just been showing that the last few days. Every thought in captivity. Bring it in, bring it in. I've let my thoughts wander about things I had no business even thinking about. And God showed me. Yeah, I'll suffer for it. And I have suffered for it. Now I say, oh, God, no matter how I might delight in thinking of those things. You know, we can think of many things, beautiful homes and lovely things. You know, not be involved in even rotten sin. Some would get involved in rotten sin in our thinking. No matter what it's being think, bring it under control. Put it out. Amen? Put it away. We're suffering for it. We're suffering for it now. You see, that beacon controlled tonight. Every thought under control to Christ. Hallelujah. Every word tonight. I believe tonight with all my heart, unless I've got a wrong spirit, that I spoke in the Holy Ghost tonight.